Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin Daf Samach Aleph. We are learning Le'ili Nishmas Imri Goldschmeid, Yosef Tzvi Ben Reb Chaim, so Ignatz Deutsch, Yitzhak Ben Reb Yaakov Yehuda, Chana Deutsch, Chana Bas Reb Yaakov, and also Ili Nishmas Israel Reblowski, Yisrael Chanoch Ben Yitzchak Ochanan, all the Nishans we learned for Shadon Aliyah from our learning. Okay, we pick up on the second line from the top, Samach Aleph and Aleph, with the quote from the Mishnah, Metziah Schairishot V'chule. We said that the rabbis set up that the Metziah, that these people that are not mentally competent and technically cannot acquire something on a derisive level, nevertheless should be theirs in order that they shouldn't be fighting. Mipnei Darkei Shalom, that there should be peace in the world, people shouldn't be fighting with each other. Now, the Tanakhama's opinion was that this was just a very good idea, but it wasn't something you could take somebody to court for if they took away the Metziah from the Chayrishot to Kotlin. Rav Yossi Omer Gezel Gomer, on the other hand, Rav Yossi said, no, the rabbis gave it the full power, me the Rabbanan, that you could actually take somebody to court if they took the Metziah away from the Chayrishot to Kotlin. Omer Rav Chista says, Gezel Gomer Midifreyim, that which we pointed out, that Rav Yossi said it's Gezel Gomer, it doesn't mean on the Reis level, it means me the Rabbanan, the rabbis gave it the Koyach, that you could go and take them to a Beis Din and go get the item back. Where it says Lamai Nafkamina, what's the practical difference between this Nafkamina is Lotzio B'dayanim, as I mentioned, that you could go through a Beis Din to go get the item back. According to the Tanakhama, the Metziah of the Chayrishot and Kotlin should be left to them. But if somebody grabbed it from them, so nothing you can do about it. According to Rav Yossi, it's Gezel Gomer Midrabanan that you can actually go to court and get it back. We call it the Mishnah. The Mishnah said for the Oni that was taking down the oilulos that were left on the top of the tree for the Aniyim. So Oni Hamanakit Barosh HaZayis, he was hitting them and knocking them down to go and take them. And if some fell to the floor, Masha Takta V'chule, we said they belonged to the Oni. And the Gemara says, Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Imlikate V'nosa Biyad Hareza Gezel Gomer. So we learned in the Braisa that if the Oni actually picked it up from the ground, so then even the Tanakhama would say that would be Gezel Gomer. Harei ze Gezel Gomer. Now, Rav Kahana, Havika Azel Hutzal. One time Rav Kahana was going to the city known as Hutzal. And Chazil Hau Gabra, Davisha de Ufye. He saw there was a certain person that was throwing sticks. Ufye, Rashi tells us, are maklos, they're sticks. And he saw them throwing sticks at these dates that were on the tree. Vekonatran Tamri, and they would cause the dates to come off the tree. So then Rav Kahana went and took some of those dates that the Oni, the other person, had knocked off from the tree. Amalei, so the man said to Rav Kahana, Chazi mar debidoish desinu. Wait a second, I threw them up there to get them with my hands, so therefore I have acquired them. So when you take them from me, that should be Gezel Gomer, even according to the Tanakhama. Now, what he really was saying to Rav Kahana was, I had actually taken some of those dates and threw them down with my hands, so therefore, they're really mine, and therefore, I made a true Kenyan. Tosus is likewise puzzled by what Rav Kahana did. In Dira Masul Shodei Afuye Bediklos, he says, Rashi explained that he hit them with a makel, and it's cautious that how could Rav Kahana do this, because Milo Hava Chayis L'Darkei Shalom, even if it wasn't an actual Kenyan, he should have been Choshesh, at least for the Tanakhama's Darkei Shalom. So therefore, Tosus says, Venira ki Rabbeinu Chananu, that don't understand it, that is like Rashi said, that he threw up a stick and hit it, but Shapirish, Ofe Chorio Shel Dekel, Hoyoshode Min HaDekel, that he threw down the branches of the Dekel from the tree, the Natri Tamri, and therefore the Tmorim fell off. Rav Kahana, Hayasavish, Lo Yechoshesh Min HaPeros, and Rav Kahana thought that he wasn't interested in the Peros, Ela Min HaChorios, he thought he was interested in the wood. V'yamalo, Ano Biyadoi Shedesinu. The Gezel Nami Iko. So therefore, the man told Rav Kahana that I wanted those dates, and therefore, it is Gezel Gomer. So Amalei, Rav Kahana says back to this person, Me'asrei de Rav Yoshia Ata, you must be from the Shtat of Rav Yoshia. Now, Rashi points out that Rav Yoshia did in fact come from Hutzal. And he added, Kari Alei, Rav Kahana said about Rav Yoshia, Vitzadik Yesod Olam. He said about Rav Yoshia that he's a Yesod Olam. We always say this expression, Tzadik Yesod Olam. The Tzadik is the foundation of the world. Now, he was basically telling him that, you know, Baruch Hashem, you were taught properly. Rav Yoshia is a Tzadik. I misunderstood the situation over here and thought that you weren't interested in the fruits, as Tosus had explained, and therefore I took them. B'chas v'shalom, I wasn't going against what the din is, and you're a very smart person. You had this chus to learn from Rav Yoshia, who comes from Hutzal, so therefore, you are correct.
Then we quote the next part of the Mishnah. We likewise allow the aniyim to go and take, who are poor, that are goyim, to take the leket shichlam pei, even though it was designated for Yisraelim, again, because of the akishalim, that we shouldn't have a discord between us and the goyim, and they'll come to attack us. Talking about, we learn the following brayse. We have an obligation to go and support the poor of the aniyim that are goyim. Im aniyei Yisrael, along with the Jewish aniyim, umevaku choli nachrim umcholi Yisrael. And likewise, we do the bits of bikucholim not only for Jewish people that are sick in the hospital, let's say, but also for the goyim. I always mention this is a wonderful opportunity to go make a great kiddush Hashem, which is, of course, since the sick person in the hospital caused you to go and visit the goy as well, and therefore he's the cause of the great kiddush Hashem. So that should be an extra zechus for the chola as well. So I always suggest it's a very wonderful thing to do. But here it's the din is that you're allowed to go and visit them. And again, the kovim meisi nachum im meisi Yisrael. And likewise, the rabbi said that when a goy needs to be buried, so the Jewish burial society is allowed to go and help with the goyish burial if that's what they want. Again, all of these mipnei dark yisholim, all of these are wonderful ways to make sure that there's peace and tranquility between us and our goyish neighbors. And these are wonderful ways to go and do that. Okay, next Mishnah. The Mishnah begins and tells us, Mashelis isha l'chaverta, a woman who's a chavera, she's allowed to go and lend to her friend who's an Amo Aretz, chachashud al ha-shviyas, and the definition here is she's suspected about not taking care properly of shviyas. As Rashi says, lishmor peyos shviyas, ulatsniyo min habiyo ve'elech, she doesn't take care of peyos shviyas properly, and that she maintains them in her house when you have to go and get rid of them. So, therefore, there's a chashashia that she's eating peyos shviyas when you're not allowed to. So, nevertheless, you are allowed to go and lend their utensils that will be involved in the preparation of these fruits of shviyas. So, for example, the Mishnah tells us it's permissible for the woman who's the chaveira to go and lend to the woman who's concerned that she doesn't go and observe the laws of shviyas, napa, the kavra, the rechayim etanur. She's allowed to lend her these items that's used in the various sifting of the flour. For example, she gives her these various types of colanders or sieves or sifters that can go and properly separate the good from the bad part of the grain, or a rechayim is a millstone, a grinding up of the item, or a tanur, a baking to oven to bake the item. So you're allowed to lend that to her. Now, what would be the concern? So Rashi tells us that we're concerned about lisayeya, to go and assist her in doing an aveira, because one might have thought that since she's working with Perish Fias, all of these things you're not allowed to go and help her with. And by lending her these utensils, you're helping her. So the Mishnah tells us you are allowed to go and lend to this. The moral have to explain why. Avo, but you're not allowed to lo tavur velo tivcha nima, but you can't go and do any of the sifting yourself with her or any of the grinding yourself with her. That is not permitted, because in this situation, you are actually assisting her in doing the aveira. As Rashi said, "Diva matzul osover l'sayeya mipnei sha'asu l'sayeya b'yadayim yidei oriyah." There, you're actually literally helping her, as opposed to just giving her the utensils, which is a step removed from her actually using the utensils. So you're not allowed to go and help her while she's doing the aveira, actually grinding or sifting the item. So you can give her the utensil for her to use, but you can't go and assist her in grinding. Mishnah continues and tells us, similarly, eishes chaver mashelis li'eishes ama aretz napa ukavra. You're allowed to go and lend a woman who's a chaveira, is allowed to go and lend to the woman who's an Am Aretz these various types of sifting utensils, this colander, these various types of strainers and sifters. And she's going to go and take items that are not mu'useres. The concern would be in the woman who's not a chaveira, that she's not Eishes Am Aretz, that she doesn't take off tithes properly. So therefore, you're allowed to go and give her these items, even though it may be dealing with things that are still tevel. Uboreris, and here you're even allowed to go and do borer with her, to go and sort them out, to go and sift the tochenis, and to even grind with her umrakedesima, and even to go and sift with her. So here you're allowed to do all of these actions, which by the shviyas you're not allowed to. And the Gemara, as Rashi points out, is going to tell us what's the difference between the reisha and the sefer. The reisha, we said you're not allowed to go and do the sifting and the grinding with her because of shviyas concerns, whereas here, with concerns of tevel, we aren't concerned, and we allow you to go and grind and sift with her. So we'll have to explain that. But even here, avol mishatatil asamayim, but once she puts water into it, then lo tiga imo, then you're no longer allowed to help her, because now it's capable of being makabel tuma, and therefore you can't assist her in being matame over here, the dough, because she's going to have to take off challah from it, and therefore you're going to be matame the challah. Because here, you're doing something that's technically wrong by making the chala tameh, so here you can't assist directly in any type of aveira activity. And furthermore, that which we permitted you, the Mishnah tells us, those things that we permitted you to do were only permitted because of darkei shalom. So Rashi says, sheitiru lashilam, you were allowed, the chaveira was allowed to go and lend to the woman, the kelim, ulasayim, below shasaveira, even though they're going to use them improperly, but you're not assisting them at the actual time of the aveira itself, and therefore, v'pnei darkei shalom, you're allowed to go and do this. So that is permissible. Furthermore, the Mishnah says, umachzikin yidei nachrim b'shvias, a nachri, a non-Jewish person, you're allowed to go, if you're a non-Jewish person, and work the land in the Shemitah year, there's no restrictions, it's not one of the Zayin Mitzvahs of the Noach, so when you see a non-Jewish person working the land in Eretz Yisrael, you're allowed to go tell him, however, but if you see a Yid doing this, so then you absolutely are not allowed to go and be mechazik the hands. Even though, by the guy, you're actually helping him in some way, so it implies, Rashi says, you're actually helping him literally. Nevertheless, since there's no issa for him, so therefore, in this situation, so we'll see exactly what this means when we get to the Gemara. And furthermore, the Mishnah tells us, you can ask them how they're doing. So, as Rashi says, all the time you're allowed to ask them. When you say Shalom Aleichem to them, so you're using Hashem's name. No problem in doing so. Again, if you don't act nicely to them, so then of course there's going to be Eva, there's going to be hatred, and there's going to be pogroms and all sorts of terrible things. It was well known, a story about Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zatzal, later in his life when he was living in Muncie, so there was a certain nun who mentioned that she hadn't seen Rav Yaakov in a while, and she asked how he's doing. And they said, no, Nebuch, Rav Yaakov had passed away. And she said, oh, I'm so sad. He was always greeting me and always saying hello to me and asking me how I'm doing. And she was very sad to hear that this great person had died. So again, one can make a Kiddush Hashem even by saying hello to Goyim. In any event, the Mishnah says you're allowed to do this, Mipnei Darkei Shalom, again, in order there should be peace and tranquility and harmony between us and the Goyim. The Gemara starts off and asks the question that I pointed out already before, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Sefer. Why in the Reisha dealing with Shvias did we say no problem to go and lend them, but you're not allowed to go and grind with them and sort with them and sift with them? Whereas in the Sefer, we're talking about the potential for Tevel, that they didn't take off proper Trumas and Maisus, no problem in grinding and sifting with them up until the point where they add the water. So we'll have two terutzim, Abaye and Rava. The first one is from Abaye. Abaye says, Rov amei aretz ma'asrin hein. In fact, the majority of Amoratzim did take off proper Trumas and Maisus. And there's only a small percentage of them that did not take off Trumas and Maisus properly. So for that small percentage, so the rabbis will go there, demai, that we have to be concerned, that we have to go and retake Trumas and Maisus. But the bottom line is that the majority of them did take off Trumas and Maisus, and therefore it's not an Issa Daraisa to go and grind and sift and sort with an Am Haaretz. It's only an additional Gzeri Midir Rabbanan. So for Shalom Bias, in order that there should be peace between the Chachamim, the Prushim, and the Amoratzim, Bipnei, Darkei Shalom, so the rabbi said, in this situation, you can go and even assist them. That's a Bias Teretz, and everybody agrees to that, including Rava, because Rava gives a second reason. Rava Amar, I give you another reason. Hacha, you could argue that it's talking about Ba'am Aretz, the Rebbeir. One could explain our mission the way Abai did, or one could explain it in the following way, that we're not dealing with an Am Aretz who's chashud on taking off Trumas and Maestros. In fact, we believe that the Amoratzim, most of them take off Trumas and Maestros. Like Abai said, it wouldn't be a problem. But here we're dealing with the opinion of Rebbeir in terms of what Rebbeir defines as an Am Aretz. Hacha, be Am Aretz, the Rebbeir. And that deals with Tuma and Tahara Dirabanan, as the Braisa will now tell us. What do we mean by Tuma and Tahara Dirabanan? So, the Tanya, the Braisa tells us, what is the definition of an Am Haaretz? Ezu Am Haaretz. We have two opinions over here. We have the first one is Rebbeir. Kol Sheino Ochel Chulav B'Tahara. Tiri Rebbeir. Rebbeir holds that if a person doesn't eat even his chulin in a state of Tahara, because we have to always be concerned that when you're going to have Truma, or you're going to have Taharas and Kachim, so one should go and be very careful with them, so you prepare yourself by always eating even your chulin B'Tahara, which is, of course, not a Din D'Oraisa, but that is the definition of Rebbeir of an Am Haaretz. Somebody that's not careful with chulin, which is allowed to be eaten Betumah, but we should try to always eat chulin, even Betara, and Rav Meir says, if you don't, then you're an Am Haaretz. So this is Rav Meir's definition of an Am Haaretz. No, it's the regular definition we've been using, that you're an Am Haaretz if you're choshud in some way on not taking a proper Trumas and Maestros. Now, The Gemara questions Rava's answer. The Gemara says, "V'ha miktani seifa," but keep on reading in the second part of the seifa, it says, "Mishitati l'samayim lo tigayma." Once water is added to the flour, however, and now there's the potential, it's mukshal l'kabel tuma, now the Eishes Chaver is not allowed to any longer go and help the Amoritz's wife. Bechlal, that implies, since the Seif is talking about Tumim and Tara, that up till now we weren't talking about Tumim and Tara. Bechlal, the Reisha, love it Tumim and Tara Skinon, and therefore, it's a Kasha and Rav's answer that we're talking in the Reisha of the Seifa about Tumim and Tara, just like we're talking about in the Seifa, Tumim and Tara, doesn't make any sense. Then why is it permitted in one case and not permitted in the other case? Shmuel says, Reisha of the Seifa, but Tumim and Tara. No, they're back, both talking about Tumim and Tara. Aye, then why do we have different answers? The Reisha, where we said you're allowed to do this, is because we're going like the definition of Rav Meir, that they eat chulin b'tara, that makes you a chover. But if you don't eat chulin b'tara, that makes you an amoritz. But that's all about chulin, which is only a din derabanan. And therefore, there's room to be mekel, again, for shalom bayis, mipnei darkei shalom. However, the Seifa is talking about a din daraisa. The Seif is talking about tumas chala. You've made the grain now mukshal kabel tumah by adding the water, and you have to take off 1/24th of that for chala. Now that's a din daraisa, and you're not allowed to be metame chala. You're not allowed to be metame a dough that has to have the chala taken from, because now the chala will be tame, and you're not allowed to be metame the chala. So therefore, that's how the Reisha and the Seifa of the Seifa could both be talking about tumah and tara, yet come up with a different din, because the Reisha is only talking about chulin b'tara, and that is only a din d'rabbanan, whereas the Seif is talking about tumas chala, which is in the Raisa. There are still questions. It says, Raminu, when you turn to Samach Aleph Amud Beis, we have a Braisa that seems to argue against this. The Braisa says, Tochanin umafkidin. As Rashi tells us, Tochanin tuas misukenis. You're allowed to go and grind tvua that has been taken off Trumas and Maisus. Umafkidin osa etzel ochle shvius shein chashudim lo lahach v'lo liga. So you're allowed to go and grind, that's Tochanin, or to place, that's mafkidin, your grain that has been taken off Trumas and Maisus, you're allowed to go and place that, either grind it or place it with the person who is Choshud on Shvius and Choshud Vietzel Ochle Peirosei in Betumah, and with those that aren't careful about eating the Peiros B'Tahara. So here, you're dealing over here with people that are concerned that they don't observe Shvius properly or that they don't observe properly Tumah and Tara by Chulin, and yet it says you're allowed to go and place your grain by them because we're not concerned, as Rashi says, that they're going to switch it around. As Rashi tells us, Shein Chashudim lo lahachlif v'laliga. We're not concerned that they'll exchange your tithe grain or that they'll touch your tithe tahar grain. That we're not concerned about. They eat shvius. Yeah, they're not careful with shvius, and they're not careful with eating the chulin b'tara, but we're not concerned that they'll switch around their untithed grain and give you untithed grain and take your tithed grain for themselves, or that they'll take your tahar grain and switch it with tamei grain. That we're not concerned about, the Braisa tells us. However, avolo liochle shvius v'lo liochle perosein betuma. What is this talking about? So Rashi continues and tells us, avolo liochle shvius, you can't take the tvua shel ovri aveira. Their tvua you can take, either it's a concern of shvius or it's a concern that it's tamei. So ein tochen and also lahem shel asu l'sayin b'avei rasam. You're not allowed to go and assist them in the preparations of their shmita that's not allowed to be eaten, or in their chulin that are tamei. And our Mishnah said you are allowed to go and grind with them, and it said the way we just explained it was, our Mishnah, we just understood it was that you are allowed to grind with them because it's only chulin bituma, and that's only the rabbanan. But here in this Braisa, it seems to say that you're not allowed to do this even though it's also only dealing with chulin bituma. So therefore we have a kasha, how can our Mishnah be saying yes, you can grind their chulin bituma, and here in the Braisa we say you're not allowed to? So that's the kasha on Rava. On Rabbi, Abaye answers for Rava. And Abaye tells us, Hasam, in this Braisa, we're dealing with Kohen, Hechoshu, Lechol, Truma, Bituma, Askino. We're concerned over here in the Braisa with a Kohen that actually eats Truma, which is the Din Daraisa, Bituma. Now that's a real problem, Daraisa. And therefore, when we say you're not allowed to do this, Velolo, Ochle, Perisei, Bituma, it's talking about a Kohen who eats Truma, Bituma, not a Yisrael that's eating chulin bituma. That's only the Rabbanan, but the truma bituma. That's a din daraisa, the havalei tuma daraisa, and that's why the braisa says you can't. But our Mishnah is talking about chulin bituma. That's only the rabbanan, and you're allowed to. So that explains why there's no stira between our Mishnah and this braisa. More questions is further and says, ihachi, if that's true, that the braisa is referring to a kohen, so then mafkidin, are you allowed to go and put your truma grain with him? Is that really true? You're allowed to go and give your truma grain to a kohen who's choshed on eating truma betuma? Urminu, I'll show you that that's not true. The following braisa, another braisa says, mafkidin truma etzel yisrael ama aretz, however, velo etzel kohen ama aretz. You are allowed to give your truma, it's tahora, to have a Yisrael safeguarded, even though the Yisrael is an Am Aretz, we're not concerned he'll touch it, and we're not concerned that he'll exchange it with you. However, you can't give it to a Kohen Am Aretz because, Mipnei Shalibo Gaspa, because he's used to eating Truma, and therefore he won't be afraid to touch it or make it Tomei. And therefore, if you're telling me that the Bryce is talking about a Kohen, so how come in the first braisa, it says you are allowed to deposit it. We said that you are allowed to tochanin umafkidin. If you're talking about a kohen who's choshed on eating truma, so you shouldn't be allowed betuma, so you shouldn't be allowed to go and be mafkid with him. So this braisa says you're not allowed to be mafkid with him if he's a kohen ama aretz. And the first braisa said you are allowed to be mafkid with him. We have a stira between the two braisas. So how do you answer that? So I'm Rabbi Loi. Rabbi Loi tells us, you know, we're talking about hochamai askinan. When you gave him the truma, it was inside a sealed kli cheres. It was inside a sealed earthenware container. And we know that even if a person is tamei and touches a sealed, what's called a kli cheres mukov tzomid pasil, a well-sealed earthenware container, so then touching this on the outside is not matame the things on the inside. So that's why you're allowed to be mafkid with the kohen Amo Aretz, because there's no way it could be Matame this, because it's inside a sealed earthenware container that can't become Tame. And you can check, the seal is still there. So obviously they didn't go and touch it inside. Even if he's Tame and he touches it on the outside, it's not Matame what's inside. That's why that Bryce has said Mafkidin. More questions, it says, okay, great, you can't be Matame with Tumas Meis, but Velecho Shema Tisitenu Ishto Nida, if his wife, who's a Nida, were to move it, so then, even though it's inside a Klicheres Hamukav Tzomid Pasil, the wife would go and be Matame it. How come we're not concerned about that? So that's the question that we now ask. And the Gemara says, Elam, Ravimi says, that's not a kasha either, lo kasha. Why? Because Khan, in this second braisa that we brought down, where we said you can't give it to the Kohen Am Aretz, we're giving him beperos shehukshiru, fruit that could be makabel tuma. It had come into contact with one of the Zayin Mashkin, one of the seven liquids that can accept tuma. Yad Shachad Dam is the mnemonic we said many times for the seven liquids that can accept, make something mukshal kabel tuma to accept tuma. So in the braisa, the second braisa, we said you can't be mafkid with the kohen am aretz. It's dealing with fruits that have already been mukshal kabel tuma. Where in the first braisa can be perish lo shiro, and that's why the first braisa says mafkid, because there's no possibility that they could accept tuma. Because even if the ishto nida moved it inside the klicheres hamukav tzavit pasil, it wasn't mukshal kabel tuma. So that's why the first braisa says mafkid, and that's why the second braisa, where it's dealing with fruits that were mukshal kabel tuma, says that you're not allowed to give it to a Kohen, Amo Aretz. So again, no stira. Mara's not happy yet. Mara says, Urminu, I'll still show you that this is wrong. Because we have another Mishnah that tells us, Hamolichit in the Tochen Kusi. Tochen Rashi tells us, is the man who goes and grinds. So that's his umnus. So if you go bring Hamolichit and you take your wheat to a Tochen Kusi, a Kusi, of course, we've discussed many times, they were choshud on whether they were actual Jews or not, because they were Geri Arayus with an olive. They originally came to us with some Chayiv, removed them from the city of Kuta. He brought them to the Shomron, he displaced them over there, and then lions came and attacked them, so they said, we should be Megayer. So it's not clear whether it was real Geris or not. So the Kusim, in certain things they would have been doctic on, but in many other things, such as giving untithed products to somebody else, they were suspected that they did, because they didn't believe in Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Milchol. So they would have no problems giving somebody untithed produce. So if you gave over your grain to a Kusi, who is a grinder of grain, or Olutochen Am Aretz, or to an Am Aretz, again, who's choshed that he doesn't take up Tumas Maisos, Sarei Elu B'chaskosan. They are presumed to be the same, L'maisu Shvias. You don't have to worry about that you got back something that wasn't Mu'usar, or that something that was Perishvias. You don't have to be concerned about that. However, you do have to be concerned that they touched it. Avolo L'tuma. So, in regards to Tuma, we do have to be concerned that they touched it. So, how can you tell me that we don't have to be concerned that they touched it? We said in the first brisa, mafkidin, you're allowed to give it to them. And we said over there, we're not concerned that they touched it. We're not concerned that they switched it around. But here, in this Mishnah, from Demai, it says that we are concerned that they touched it. Lo l'tuma. We don't believe that it's not tummy anymore. So Gemara says, no. Hi, my Rumi, what are we talking about over here? That's not even a question. Lavu kimnehem, we already explained that the brisa is talking about beperish l'hukshu. They weren't l'hukshu l'kabel tuma. And therefore, there is no concern about tuma at all. So what in the world are you asking over here? And in fact, that's what the Gemara says. This was such an obvious answer. Udekarile, my karile. The one who asked the question over here, what was he really asking? This Uriminu doesn't make any sense because we're dealing over here with something that was not Mukhshul Kabul Tumah. So how can you say that it says in this Mishnah in Demai that we have to be concerned about Tumah? Because the Mishnah in Demai is talking about it was Mukhshul Kabul Tumah. But the first Brisa, where we said Tolkien and Mafkidin, is talking about where it wasn't Mukhshul Kabul Tumah. So what in the world was he asking? So Gemara says, yeah, you're right. Mishum dekabai lemirme achrite Allah. That wasn't his real question. He's just getting the ball rolling, so to say. And his real question is as follows. And therefore, don't misunderstand this question as being a question that was so obviously answered by the fact that we're talking about perish lehuchshu in the Brisa. But here's his question. Hare elu becheschotze lemaisu l'shvius, we said. And therefore, ulechalufe lechashinan. And therefore, as a result, we're not concerned that he would go and exchange his non-Me'usar item for the Me'usar item that you gave him, or his non-Shvius item that you gave him for a Shvius product of his own. We're not concerned about that. That's what we explained the first price of it. Now, Uriminu, we have another Mishnah in Demai that tells us, hanosein lachamoso. If a person gives his mother-in-law dough, ma'aser eshu nosila, he has to go and give her dough that has taken off Trumas Maisus. He can't give her a tevel. But when he gets it back from her, the ash, who no telemena, that which he gets back from her, he has to go and take it off again. Why? Because we're concerned that maybe the mother-in-law messed up somehow in the baking of his stuff, and therefore she took her own non-Me'usar item and baked it for him and gave it back to him. So it's not the same grain that he gave her, it's not the same dough that he gave her, and therefore we have to be concerned about Mukhlefes. Ah, in the first place we said we're not concerned about Mukhlefes, that's the Stira. So he says, no. Hasam, why did the mother-in-law give him back potentially something that was her own, that wasn't Me'usar? Why didn't she just give him back his stuff? Because she messed up. Kedikatani Taima, as we learned over there, Amar Rav Yehuda, that Rav Yehuda, the Tana said, Rotzehi betakonas bita ubosha mechasana. She doesn't want her daughter to be thought of in a negative way by her husband. Oh, look what your mother did. So, therefore, she messed up somehow in the baking of it. So instead of giving him lousy bread, so she went and took her own dough and baked him a nice new fresh bread because she was embarrassed from her son-in-law that he would then also think low of her daughter. And therefore, in that situation, it's not a question of exchanging it salahachis just to be a mean person and a bad person. Oh, I'll switch it on him and make him have an aveira. No. Here, she has a good reason for doing this. So when there's a good reason for doing it, you have to be concerned about it because she doesn't want her son-in-law to be upset that he didn't get back the most delicious dough. So therefore, she bakes some new fresh bread from her own non-Me'usar item. But in general, we're not concerned, like the first price has said, that you're allowed to be tochen and umafkid because we're not concerned lahachlif. Where still questions this and says, really? Ula alma lo chashinu, we're really not concerned? But none. But we learn in the following additional Mishnah from Demai, hanosein lipundokis, if you go and give your dough to the woman, the hotelier that you're staying at, the woman who's in charge of the hotel, the inn that you're staying at, so you gave her dough, so ma'aser shunosil, you have to give her dough that is mooser, you can't give her tavel, that shunotel, and then when she gives you back, you have to go take off Trumas HaMaisus again. Why? Is because we're concerned that she exchanged it. Oh, so here you see in the Mishnah Demai that we are concerned that she exchanges it. So why in the first price did we say we're not concerned that they exchange it? So again, the Gemara gives a similar teretz to the mother-in-law. Hasam Maria the Amra. There she goes and gives herself a heter to go and exchange it. Why? Bar Beirav Lechul Chamima. She somehow had messed it up, or his bread had gotten cold. And she said, listen, why should the Talmud Chacham have to go eat lousy bread? I'll bake him new fresh bread. I'll eat the lousy bread. I'll eat the cold bread, the stale bread, and give him the nice, fresh, hot, good bread. So therefore, she's again doing it for a positive reason, not to tzalahachas to go and make him be over in Aveira. So in the Braisa, where we don't have these concerns of the mother-in-law or the innkeeper, so then we're not concerned about lahachlif. In these specific cases, where there's a positive reason why there would be mahachlif, the mother-in-law doesn't want her son-in-law to think less of her daughter, and The innkeeper doesn't want the Talmud Chacham to have cold bread. She would rather have the cold bread, the staler bread, and give him a nice fresh hot bread. So there, in this situation, we have to be concerned because there's a positive reason. But if there's no positive reason, then in general, we're not concerned, like the first price is said. Where it still questions is, you're really telling me you never have to be worried about exchanging it? But Tanya, we're learning another brice. We allow the Eishes Chavit to go and grind with the Eishes Ama Aretz when she is Tmeya. Why is that? Because we're not concerned at that point that she's Tmeya, so we're not concerned that she will go and eat something because the food is tar, and she's Tmeya, so she won't go and eat it. Since it's Tmeya, she's careful about eating everything Mitahara, so she won't go and eat it. She'll only eat Tmeya food. Now, she won't be Mitami something. However, Abo Lob is Manchi Torah. But if she is in fact Tahora, then we are concerned that she may come to eat it. And since this could be non-Meuser, so we tell her, don't go and grind with a friend, because she may put some of it into her mouth. Now, Rav Shimon Lozomer, no. Ab is Manchi Tmeya Lo Titlo. Even when she's Tmeya, she's not allowed to go and grind it with her. Why? Mipnei Shechaverta, and we turn to Samach Bezom and Aleph. Because her friend is going to give her this. Now, her friend's not allowed to give it to her. It technically belongs to her husband. She would need to ask permission to go and give it away. And therefore, hashta mignav gonva, if we're concerned that she would actually go and steal this from her husband, so to say, and give it to her friend, so chilup ilo mechalfa, so shouldn't we also be concerned that she would go and exchange it? So this again is a kasha. You see that we are concerned that they'll exchange it. If we're concerned that she'll steal, certainly we're concerned she'll exchange, and this therefore is a stira to the first price. And it says Mafkidin, and the Gemara answers Amar Yosef over here too. Hasam Nami Maria. Here she gives herself a heter. She says, "No, I'm doing this for a good reason." The Amra Torah Midishe Ka'acha. There's a famous rule that Lo Sachshum Shor Midisho. The halacha is that you're not allowed to go muzzle an ox while it's working in the field because that's a tzar for the animal. So to over here. The woman says, my husband certainly wouldn't be machped in this situation because here she is, she's working on the grain, so she's allowed to put some pieces in her mouth. We don't put a muzzle on her. So therefore, just like you let an ox eat, so certainly you let the Eishes Chavit eat. So therefore, when she's Tmeya, she won't touch the food. We don't have to be concerned that she'll come to eat it because there's no way she'll be mitami it and eat it. However, when she's Tahora, when there is no concern about making it Tmeya, so then we're concerned that maybe she'll absentmindedly forget it and put it in her mouth and eat it, and that would be not Meuser, and that would be a problem. And therefore, in that situation, we don't allow her to go and grind when she is not Tmeya. So that concludes this discussion over here. We have more to come on this tomorrow, but this is a good place to break today's shiur. Have a wonderful day.